Well, thank you for showing up again this morning. It's always good to see you when we come back. I often wonder that when you do a series, you start off with a good crowd and by the end it's trickled down to a small number. We're in Philippians 2. We have been there for some weeks and we're going to be there for the next 3 weeks as we work through what is really a brilliant, brilliant hymn. Although the ESV text that you have on page 1084 doesn't lay it out like that. Now, the NIV does lay it out as a hymn. And we're particularly focusing this morning on verse 7. Verse 7, that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. It's a long, long time ago since I've received a letter that ended up, "I remain your humble servant," signed Sir Humphrey Doolittle or somebody. Or maybe "your most obedient servant." I suppose the Victorians wrote like that. I suppose an earlier generation wrote like that. But we hardly sign our letters like that anymore, do we? But are we servants? Are we humble? Or did we just say it at the end of the letter? How would you know if somebody was truly humble? Would their signature give it away? What does humility actually look like? Well, the way we've tackled it, the way Paul tackles it, is to start with the character of God. If it is true that humility is an aspect of the Godhead, how would God show humility? And the answer is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. So in a sense, we're looking here in this verse at the servanthood of Jesus Christ. You see the text? He took the form of a servant. He took the form of a servant. And in this brilliant, brilliant description of the Lord Jesus here in Philippians 2, the call is to copy Jesus. To copy Jesus. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. We're to have his thinking, his outlook. We're to learn from the Lord Jesus. Now, it's not often that Jesus is used as an example. He is here, he is in a passage in Peter, but usually he's the man who stands in for us. But in this particular text, he is our great example. We are to learn to live and think like Jesus. We're to become a servant. Or literally, the word is a bond slave, a tied slave. It's the calling for every true follower of the Lord Jesus. So verse 7, which I'll put up on the screen, says in the ESV that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And there are two words in the text that are rather difficult. The first is translated emptied himself. What does it mean that he emptied himself? And the second is the word form. What does it mean that he's in the form of a servant? So the NIV translates it a little differently. The NIV said, and I think Mike read it out like this to us, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time looking at those two difficult, I say words, but they're translated as phrases, aren't they? What does it mean, first of all, then, that Jesus emptied himself? What does that mean? Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped hold of, but he emptied himself. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it does not mean. I don't know if any of you should listen to the sermons of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Most of the sermon was what the thing did not mean. And then you understood what it did mean at the end. Here's what it does not mean. It doesn't mean that he took off his coat of divinity. It doesn't mean that he changed clothes. And he put on a new coat of humanity. It doesn't mean that. He didn't change from being God to being human. He was God and he stayed as God. But he added to his godness our humanness. So the NIV translates it as making himself nothing, shrinking down to humanhood. Wesley, in one of his great Christmas hymns, says that he's God contracted to a span. And he gave up, I think, the privilege and the status of being in heaven. We could say, carefully, that he lost some of the enjoyment of the rights of deity. But he never lost deity. What we must not say is that by becoming human, he became less than divine. That's what we must not say. No, he was God, and he stayed as God, even as a human. Of course, for us, finite human beings that we are, we find this very, very difficult to take in. You see, we understand what it means to be human. Well, what it means really to be sinful human. As the children told us, certain things are built into your nature from the word go, and politeness is not one of them. So we find it easy to understand being human, a little difficult because the only sort of human we understand is a sinful human person. What we find really, really difficult is what a perfect human being is like. We have to imagine it. We can't see it, either in ourselves or in anybody else. But what it means to be both God and human, to combine the two natures, is almost beyond our comprehension. Yes, we read it, and we try and take it in. But sinful that we are, the temptation is to fall one way or the other. We either fall too much on the divine side, and make Jesus, as it were, all God and only a little bit human, or we fall on the other side and make him a human being, a compassionate man, a servant, but only a little bit God. So when we read that Jesus emptied himself or made himself nothing, we must never say that he was anything less than God all the time he was here on earth. Yet at the same time, he never uses his godness for his own advantage. He isn't grabbing hold of divinity, whatever the cost. Rather, he's a giver, not a taker. He's a true servant. What does it mean that he emptied himself? It means that he became a true servant. He shows us how a true servant should live. Alec Mateer, an older commentator who's recently died, said this once. It's not of what did Jesus empty himself, but into what did he empty himself. He emptied himself into a servant by becoming a servant. Here's F.F. Bruce. He didn't exchange the form of God for the form of a slave, but he manifested the form of God in the form of a slave. Isn't that well put? So this is humble servanthood indeed. This is a superb model for us. This is God who empties himself but never loses his divine nature. What does it mean that Jesus empties himself? Secondly, what does it mean that Jesus took the form of a servant? Took the form of a servant. Well, he didn't lose his godness, as we've said. He gained humanness and added a particular form or type of human being, namely a slave or a servant. He didn't come, as it were, to lord it over people. He came as a servant. Not in spite of being God, but precisely because he was God. You see, nothing that Jesus did was for his own self-advancement. It was all for our benefit, for your benefit and mine. It was to please his Father. Jesus never hung on to his reputation. Rather, he emptied himself. As William Taylor puts it, his whole self as God into the very nature of the lowest slave to serve selflessly. Precisely because this is the very nature of God. So when at Christmas we were thinking about the babe in the manger, what were we looking at? We were looking at the servanthood of God. When we saw Mary hold Jesus in her hands, she was holding God himself in her hands. Therefore, it wasn't blasphemy to come and worship the babe in the manger. It was fitting and proper to do so. I told you I've really enjoyed Tim Chester's nuggets on this section called In the One True Gift, his Christmas readings. Here's a comment of Chester's. Jesus had the right to be worshipped, but he accepted rejection. He had the right to glory, but he accepted shame. He had the right to exercise power, but he chose the path of weakness. And when did he exercise power? It was never for his benefit, but always for others. He is the true servant, the servant king. This is the role he took on at Christmas. And if you'd like a really ancient, fabulous author, here's John Calvin, comes up on the screen. Here is something marvellous, says Calvin. The Son of God descended from heaven in such a way that, without leaving heaven, he willed to be born in the Virgin's womb, to go about the earth and to hang upon the cross, yet he continuously filled the world even as he had from the beginning. He was always God, you see. And being God is not about pomp and power. Of course he has all power, and he can use the power however he chooses. But that's exactly the point, isn't it? How he chooses. He doesn't use his power for ego trips. He uses his power in love to serve his people. Jesus is therefore a meek man. He may look as though he's weak, especially on the cross, but in fact the opposite is true. He is a man, and he is God, giving himself for mankind, for his own people in particular. In fact, not just ordinary man, we could call him extraordinary man, for he is a man with no selfish tendencies. He is the man for all men, is our Lord Jesus. It's a brilliant phrase here, isn't it? He took the form of a servant. Now, so far what we've said is all about Jesus. So how do we apply this to ourselves? Or as I've put the question here, what does it look like for you and me to be a servant? What does it look like for you and me to be a servant? And I think the text helps us. Because the whole poem is written up for our benefit, as an example for us. As verse 5 puts it, we're to have this mind amongst ourselves. It's the mind which is ours because we're in Christ Jesus. So we're to have the same mindset as the Lord Jesus. He made himself nothing, so for us. He took the nature of a servant, so for us. And for emptying himself, making himself nothing, it's not exactly the same because we're not God in the first place. We are in essence sinful human beings. But if he as God took the form of a servant, becoming a servant to others, this is exactly our calling too, isn't it? We are to live like him with genuine humility, a real servant heart for others. We'll go on next week and talk a little bit about servanthood. You see in verse 8, he's found in human form. He humbles himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. By the way, you might like it for a bit of homework this week to work on your humility for the week. Anyone fancy writing a book, I'll do the introduction for you next week if you like. Now, let me give you some examples now of application, some examples that may or may not help. I hope they will help. Here's one. Take a situation you might have at work, or maybe in your home, or maybe even in the church here, where you are given some authority. You have authority at work, or maybe in your home, you organise things, look after things, or maybe here in the church you have certain responsibilities. You may find yourself physically, emotionally stronger, mentally more capable than others. Your knowledge and your experience might give you the edge over other people. All that is well and good. But how do you exercise your authority? Do you use your power for the sake of others? Do you act like Jesus? Or take another example. Sin, this disease of sin, has caused us to turn in on ourselves. We are very, very self-centered people. And we are, as church, all churches are, very, very self-centered people. We think of our own comfort first, usually. But to act as a servant means to serve others. In other words, to act in this regard, like Jesus, means others first, not me first. So when we plan our church, or when we want to expand our gospel ministry, a key question to ask is, how are we serving others by doing what we're doing? What do we need to do so the visitor feels at home? I'm not trying to have a go at you. These are just genuine, broad examples. What does it mean that people are welcomed? Well, think how you do so in your own home. To be polite in the home, I think this is normally the way it's done, you take people's coats, or you tell them where to put the coat, at least. You show them where the loos are, toilets are. You introduce your family. You get them to talk to the dog while they're waiting for dinner, and you introduce the dog to them. You ask them what they would like to drink, and so on. Because in your home, as in my home, our home, guests come first. Well, church should be like that, shouldn't it? Signs up for the loos, introduce ourselves, introduce people to other people. We act as servants, as Jesus did. So let's just ask ourselves the question, how are we getting on being a servant? And I suggest it's jolly hard work. It isn't natural, because our default position is towards self. Think of the excuses we make when somebody asks us to help. Oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm afraid I've got rather a lot on my mind at the moment. Oh, I must leave this to somebody else. I've got other things to do, meaning that they're more important. Yes, I'd love to serve, but not in that team, not with those people, not the way they've treated me in the past. But you know what? Servanthood turns out to be the way of joy, the way of happiness, and the way of contentment. Think of those you know who are most preoccupied with serving themselves, and contrast them with those you know who are most preoccupied with serving others. Who are the happiest? I'm sure you know this verse in Mark 10. If you've dozed off, now's a good time to wake up and turn to page 939. And look at Mark 10:45, one of the most essential verses in Mark, I think, to understand the Lord Jesus. He's talking to James and John, who want top table seats, and he says to them in Mark 10:43, "But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all." Here's the comment, "For even the Son of Man," the name he loved for himself, "even the Son of Man," said Jesus, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So as God, Jesus stepped from his throne in glory to earth. As God, Jesus entered the stable. As God, Jesus took the towel and the basin and washed his friend's feet. As God, Jesus desperately prayed in the garden. As God, Jesus was arrested without complaint. As God, Jesus was beaten. As God, Jesus was nailed to a criminal's cross. What a mindset of selfless service for the sake of others. If you want to draw near to God, then be like Jesus. No fuss. No huffing and puffing. Help clean the floors. Put the chairs away. Make the coffee. Look out for visitors. Be prepared to break away from conversations with friends you know that you're enjoying just to introduce yourself to somebody that you don't yet know. Ask them about themselves. Don't say too much about yourself. Put yourself out for others. Be their servant. And if you want to see how much Jesus poured himself into slave ministry, then come back next week and see if his humility is similar to yours and mine. in the words of Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. And in my words, Lord Jesus, you are the supreme servant, and we would like some of that attitude too. By your Spirit, please humble us this morning. Please grant us that servanthood we ask. In your fabulous name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Here's Graham Kendrick's wonderful song about Jesus becoming the servant king.